Summer, summer, summertime. And just lay back and unwind.
Summer movie season is here, and we have all of our most anticipated releases coming up right after this.
Everyone is part of the family at this point.
I did do my fan fiction idea that I had, so this movie was garbage.
What is this? You are a monster beyond all belief.
Put them all in the thing and let them do the thing, you know what I mean?
How?
You know, you're lucky to have me back.
You're never going to get 60 million people because you're not a Super Bowl. Shut up.
So chaotic.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Guy at the Movies podcast. This is our most anticipated films of the summer special drop coming out, a little bit after the summer movie season started, with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 hitting last weekend and doing pretty well worldwide with $289.3 million. And we are recording this after that weekend. So I'm sure that the daily grosses have only helped that since. But we'll see where that ends up, probably when we're talking on the next podcast, see where Guardians is. Because the summer is upon us, Sean, and we have a ton of new releases. Some are exciting, and we're going to talk about those. Others we left off of our list that may be going to Peacock or other places. But let's dive right into it. And I think you're kicking us off here with one that I left off my list.
Yes, I need to emphasize that I have Fast X on here, mainly because I'm just excited for the discourse. I'm not a big fan of these movies, but I have respect for this franchise being kept alive and being able to evolve as the ridiculousness of action movies have evolved. But anyway, Fast X is going to premiere on May 19th. It stars Jason Statham, Vin Diesel, Soon Kang, Ludacris, Alan Richardson, John Cena, Helen Mirren, as well as many others, including Rita Moreno and Brie Larson. So there's three Academy Award winning women. I love this plot, by the way. Over many missions and against impossible odds, Dom Toretto and his family have outsmarted, outnerved, and outdriven every foe in their path. Now they confront the most lethal opponent they've ever faced, a terrifying threat emerging from the shadows of the past, who's fueled by blood revenge and who is determined to shatter the family and destroy everything and everyone that Dom loves forever. I got to be honest, that could be any of them. That is the plot of the last five.
I was just going to ask that. I don't know too much about the series because I am behind on them, but isn't every movie about someone coming out from the past to like threaten their future?
It's pretty much like, yeah, they just always retcon either a sibling or Charlize Theron or just someone in there to like come in. This time it's Jason Momoa, who in a recent trailer literally blows up the Vatican. And so the Vatican actually blows up in this, I think, which you're going to lose a certain amount of the population there, I think. Like, so that's going to be interesting. I mean, honestly, like these movies are just so ridiculous. I do look forward to the fun of them. I look forward to like see where this can go. The most recent trailer did show him driving his car down the Hoover Dam. So it's there's a level there that, you know, is just ridiculous on all levels. But I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing what it's going to be. I don't expect much, but I'm excited still.
Well, that's kicking off our list on May 19th, and these all will be in order of release. The following week, I get started with The Little Mermaid. And I have to tell you, you know, a lot of people really crap on the live action films from Disney. But I'm a Disney adult through and through. I've been to Disney World itself 40 plus times. I've been to Disneyland. I love everything Disney. And we'll see every movie that they ever release. I'll see everything they ever release. And I enjoy what they release. I don't always love the live action, love what they do. And Buzz Lightyear is a shitty movie. But anyway, we have The Little Mermaid releasing on May 26, 2023, starring Halle Bailey, Melissa McCarthy, Javier Bardem, Awkwafina, Jacob Tremblay, David Diggs, Jonah Howard King, and others. Synopsis, it's a live-action version of The Little Mermaid. A young mermaid gives up her life in the sea to gain the love of a prince. I'm excited for this because The Little Mermaid is part of the Disney Renaissance, the animation Renaissance that really got Disney animation back on the map in the late 80s, early 90s. And so I'm excited to see where they take this story because there hasn't really been a lot of Little Mermaid reincarnations, in the same way that you've had 74 Peter Pan films. So I'm excited to see what they do with this. When they released the first clips and hearing Halle Bailey sing A Part of Your World, I was instantly, you know, to this day when I listen to it, I get goosebumps because she sounds incredible. And it is one of the most recognizable Disney animation songs out there. There's other ones. I just saw a little clip of Under the Sea with David Diggs. That sounds really good. Kiss the Girl sounds really good, even though people are crapping on how it looks because it's dark and stuff like that. All I say to that is see it in a theater first before you crap on like what you're seeing on a Twitter feed or on your, I don't even know. Did they even do the movie and TV awards on television this year?
Oh, they did, but it was like, it was without Drew Barrymore as the host or something. I don't know.
Reported or something. At least something, I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, I'm really excited for this. The first reactions have come out since the premiere the other night. We're recording this on Wednesday. This was it's getting positive reviews for the performances and all of that. And there's aspects of it that are really positive. I would say that it's a mixed bag for a lot of people, but they're still calling it one of the better live action films.
Yeah,
which makes me excited because, you know, if you're tired of Disney, you're tired of live action, then you're not going to like this. If you're excited for live action, if you're excited for a Disney film, you're probably going to go into this and enjoy it. And I'm expecting to enjoy it. I'm also really excited to see Melissa McCarthy kill it as Ursula.
So I'm terrified about this movie. Because it's going to split the pot hard. I'm not one of these people that are just like, you know, beyond like pissed off that this exists. I think some people just need to really relax. Like, there's some people that are just like absolutely fuming and haven't slept since like a clip came out. I'm like, guys, relax. There's bad movies out there too. Like, I'm not like terribly passionate about Disney. This does do a few hits of nostalgia occasionally. I'm someone that just really dislikes these live action things. I'm just like, re-release the animated movie in theaters. I know that won't do as much because it's not like a new movie, but I just think that's like, you know, just tap into what made those animated movies magic. I'm just not that passionate about Disney, and I'm not really too passionate about Little Mermaid. So I don't like, you know, you have that passion there, and I'm just going to be very apathetic. I don't think I'm like the fact that these, you know, reactions have leaned to the positive side is helpful. And I think that they are helping that Halle Bailey is just that awesome. Like, I think that's really most of it, is that she is just that awesome and she is carrying this over. And so I think there's going to be an element that I enjoy. I will say I'm going to help myself with this one by trying to drag Sam to the theater. She hates theaters, but like, I think sitting next to her, I'll enjoy it a little bit more. Yeah. Like, I'll be able to like feed off of her enjoyment a little bit more.
I'm taking my mom to the screening next week and I'm really pumped for it because I know she's going to love it. But the Halle Bailey, definitely. But I also was very concerned about Melissa McCarthy because Ursula has such a following, and Ursula's original design was based on a late drag queen, which is a really interesting thing at this time in our society where drag queens are being villainized or vilified, I should say. But her performance apparently is really good. David Diggs, they're saying, is really good. Jacob Tremblay, they're saying, is really good as the voice of Flounder, even though people are really upset about the fact that Flounder looks like a flounder.
It's not one of these things where like, I get it. It's a live action. So they're going to make those characters look like actual fish and crabs and birds. I don't want that. It's not that it's like, I'm not saying that that's improper or anything. I just don't want it.
Did you see the clip online where Scuttle the bird is voiced by Awkwafina is underwater just talking? And they're Jesus. Like, oh,
no, I didn't see that the bird's yet.
Talking underwater. And immediately I was like, oh, Sean is going to rip this.
For a movie that was like really guarded about showing any trailers or footage, where like the first two were just Halle Bailey, like in brief clips. Now they're just going apeshit on the clips, which cool. Right on. You know, I'm not going to be someone that like rises up in revolt against these things. I'm not storming the theater. But I'm just someone that also isn't just terribly passionate about these. So we will, you know, we're going to try to be as cordial as we can on the pod, which always makes good content. People just,
I will say that it must be testing well, because the fact that the premiere was a couple weeks before it comes out, the screenings are starting. What is it? Next Tuesday is the screening, which is a week and a half before it comes out. Week in a couple days. That's positive anytime that you see screenings that early, because they want word of mouth to get out there. So I would be interested to see how they make sure that they test these with like non-Disney people as well, because I bet like they kind of want to pull other people in and all that. But anyway, enough about The Little Mermaid, because my next one on the list is You Hurt My Feelings, releasing May 26, 2023, with Tobias Menzies as well as Julia Louis-Dreyfus, my favorite, one of my favorites. I love her so much. And she's really driving a ton of my interest here. This came out of, I believe it was Sundance, with a lot of positivity. And the synopsis is that a novelist's longstanding marriage is suddenly upended when she overhears her husband giving his honest reaction to her latest book. I'm just really excited about some of the reactions that I saw coming out of this, that it's just a really funny, like, honest film, and a modernized kind of like what happens when you have that one thing in your relationship you can't let go of, and everything you thought you knew is kind of like turned on its head. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus just kills it in everything. What was the movie 2 years ago, Will Ferrell, that was based on
Downhill?
Downhill.
Based on Force Majeure,
Yeah, not the best movie, but the performances were great, in my opinion. I love her. And like, you know, if I have to wait to see her again in Marvel, and we're not going to get any additional Veep episodes, I'm excited to see her in some of these films that she seems to be killing it in.
Yeah, I had this like kind of on my list at first, but then I sort of took it off because I'm like, this isn't a summer movie. That's the only thing I have an issue with on this. Is like, I want this to be a fall festival movie. I want this to be not festival because it's already, but I want this to be something where, like, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus has that celebrity, has those Emmys to possibly get an Oscar nomination for this. I don't think it happens. That's a long shot of long shots. But I like, now with it coming out in May, that's even tougher. But I love the idea of this premise. I absolutely love the idea of this premise because it's just such a true thing. Like, you know, I don't know if Sam's honest about this podcast. Like, who knows? it's like, that's one of the things I
want to know now.
She'll never tell me.
I'll message her after this.
Yes, actually, give her a, this will be the clip. I'm much looking forward to this. God bless it for just going up against Little Mermaid. They really know how to like
put
the audiences together. like these will be these 60-year-old people that just don't even know what Little Mermaid is. God bless
them. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I go to see it tomorrow, so I'm really pumped.
Oh wow, awesome.
Yeah.
So I have my next one up here, which is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. By the way, hate these titles because this title does not flow like into the
Spider-Verse. I mess them up all the time.
And I cannot get a handle on it. I think I've started to finally get a handle on it, but I'm looking forward to this. This is the sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, as we were saying. But after reuniting with Gwen Stacy, Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is catapulted across the multiverse where he encounters a team of spider people charged with protecting its very existence. However, when the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles finds himself pitted against other spiders. He must soon redefine what it means to be a hero so he can save the people he loves most. This first movie was just a miracle of a movie, and sequels often disappoint, unfortunately. I just think that, like, everything they have here is working for it. They brought everyone back. I think that the trailers, while they've been uneven, have tied in the personal story along with the crazy animation and the ridiculous worlds and the world building happening. And it just reminds me, like, of, like classic infighting, like where I just see like, you know, one group that are the heroes are all upset with each other and they don't exactly know how to handle it. And I just love that kind of stuff because, you know, it's very, very political in that way, which makes it, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a very political movie, but I think that that aspect of it is fun. And the animation is dope. And I'm just really, really looking forward to this one.
Batman versus Superman did it too. But anyway, the, I can't say I'm excited about this. Because I did love the first one. The first one was such a nice surprise. And I remember even before the first one came out, I had no idea what to expect. And I kind of thought it was weird that they were throwing an animated Spider-Man out there. But it did really well, obviously. And it was a great movie. I do worry about them doing too much with this and being unable to, hit gold twice or strike gold twice. But we'll see. That's just why it didn't make it on my list, because it's not.
There's a little bit of a concern there for me. Yeah.
Yeah. There's others that I'm more excited about. But,
So the next one we both have is an animated film we both have, and that's Elemental. I mean, I will say, like, people, I'll do the synopsis first, but people are crapping on this movie because they're like, oh, the plot's very simple. Like, oh, the fire girl is named Ember. How original and stuff like that. Pixar does sort of thrive on, like, having interesting ideas with interesting animation, and yes, the symbolism is pretty clear here. The allegories are pretty like solidly like laid out, but I still love what this is doing. And that first teaser, the animation is flawless. And
yeah, it's wonderful. I mean,
Pixar doesn't really miss. Even when they miss, they still hit something great. Like, neither of us were big fans of Soul, but like, there's still great stuff in Soul. And I think that, you know, I love Turning Red keeps on growing on me more and more as that happens. But this is, you know, follows an unlikely pair, Ember and Wade, in a city where fire, water, land, and air residents live together. Yes, obviously this is pretty straightforward, but I mean, I'm still very much into this, and I'm really looking forward to like what this can bring.
I'm looking forward to a good old-fashioned Pixar movie that is actually good. You know, yeah. Like, I'm not saying that we've had some good Pixar movies. We've had some that have been, you know, like Soul wasn't my favorite. But this looks like it's going back to basics in terms of exploring a more simplistic story that mm-hmm. has beautiful animation, looks like it has charming characters, and looks like it's going to be something that I really enjoy, hopefully. I do worry about it going up against a lot of different things, a couple movies we're going to talk about being The Flash and Asteroid City. I just think that that's kind of a shitty place to add Pixar into, because like, Pixar just gets the short end of the stick. They were sent to Disney Plus how many times, you know, but this kind of also reminds me a little bit of like the simplicity of Luca in a way. Yeah. Well, that's a lie. I shouldn't compare it to that, because Luca was a deeper movie than I think a lot of people give it credit for, even though it was nominated for an Oscar. Zootopia, I think, is what I would compare this to, because it seems like
Zootopia, yeah.
It's creating a world that they're probably going to use a lot of the aspects of to tackle larger issues. And Zootopia did that surprisingly well, and very on the nose. So I'm looking forward to what Elemental brings. We should probably be getting another trailer shortly for it.
I'd hope so. Yeah, just one more. I mean, I don't know. I liked the teaser, and I liked the trailer they gave with the plot. I was like, I don't want to do more than that. Just keep what I saw. I think that trailer even gave away too much, even though it was a beautiful trailer. And I mean, just like, I want some top-notch animation out of the last two we just mentioned.
To be fair, you say that about every trailer.
Be the guy that says they give too much away. I don't think they give too much away, but sometimes I like to be like, I don't know, like a little bit of a secret, a fun little secret.
I got a secret.
See, that's fun.
Yeah. All right. Next up. Yeah. Next up is The Flash. And I never thought that I would include this on this list when it was announced years ago, but also, well, not when it was announced, because that was like, God, 8 years ago, 6 years ago. But when, with everything going on, but this is releasing June 16th opposite Elemental. It stars Ezra Miller, Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton, Sasha Cali, Michael Shannon, a bunch of others. Worlds collide when the Flash uses his superpowers to travel back in time to change the events of the past. However, when his attempt to save his family inadvertently alters the future, he becomes trapped in a reality in which General Zod has returned, threatening annihilation. With no other superheroes to turn to, the Flash looks to coax a very different Batman out of retirement and rescue an imprisoned Kryptonian, albeit not the one he's looking for. The trailers, I think, are really good on this. I remember when that first trailer dropped, I was like, oh. And then the word started leaking out that it's actually, that people are responding really positively to it, and actually saying that it's one of the best superhero movies out there. And I will root for DC forever and always. Yes, Ezra Miller being involved does put a little bit of stain on it. So I'm interested to see, number one, how they are in the movie, but then also how they continue to hopefully move down the right path in the future, and if they can, atone for what they've done in the past. I'm just excited about this. They're saying that it is a reset, that it's very nostalgic, that it's very emotional, and that it's just downright fun. So give me a fun summer superhero blockbuster. And I think, you know, Guardians just kicked us off with it. I think this is going to give us that DC summer blockbuster, because we don't have another Marvel one this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my issue with this is the trailers look great. The trailers do look great. They look like it makes a very fun action movie. This has like No Way Home elements, where I think it's going to be similar to No Way Home, where like I walk out of the theater, I'm running out of the theater loving it. And then as time passes, it's like it kind of ages a little bit stale. I realize this is a little bit more cotton candy than substance, which is fine. It's fun and entertaining. I think that that's what it's going to be. those positive reactions like do bother me a little bit, because they are, I've said this on another pod, they are intensely positive, like to a point that just like seems really strange. And I, you know, good on Little Mermaid, their positive reactions were like, well, I don't love it, but it's way better than I thought. And that, like, that almost has me a little bit more excited for Little Mermaid than this, because this is just like the lady doth protest too much. This is just a little bit like, it's a little bit intense, where I'm like, pump the brakes just a tad. I'm still excited for this one, but I left it off the list. Just I'm still somewhat worried. I'm weirded out by that positive praise.
Sean, we need to pick a summer movie for me to come up there for, maybe. And maybe that could be it.
I think we should be in different states for that one.
That's true. I'll leave as soon as we exit. If you don't like it, I'll be like, change it. Maybe I'll just book the train for right after it or something.
Yeah, exactly. That might be the way, but we'll see.
That's I still remember back in the day when Man of Steel came out, my ex-fiance and I, when we went to the theater, and we went to a midnight showing, because of course dragged him to a midnight showing.
Back in those days.
And when we went to TGI Fridays first, because we're classy. And then when we left the theater, he was like, it was fine. And I was like, what?
That's why it's going to be a tough end of May, June for us with those two.
We're going to have some fire podcasts.
Maybe it'll be fine. I'm not like, you know, I'm not crapping on either of them yet. I got to see them first, of course, but I'm worried. Asteroid City. I have the Wes Anderson film. Not much of a summer movie, so I don't know why I chose that one to take off. But there's a fine line or a parallel between Asteroid City and Fast X, and it's probably the only parallel you could ever imagine. Is that those are two movies where the previous movie, the previous Wes Anderson movie, and the previous Fast and Furious movie, I liked more than the traditional fans of those two movies. People hated Fast 9. People did not like French Dispatch, where I liked those way better. So that's why I put those two on the list. Is I'm curious to see where everything goes. Is it going to be a return to form for those two things? Are they going to be like back to the ways that I wasn't really that big of a fan? I'm excited to see what Asteroid City is. I'm not going to say what that cast is, because, you know, who knows? They could be in it for, I'm not kidding, 2 seconds. Like, Saoirse Ronan was in French Dispatch for, and she said a syllable. Like, there's no way that some of these like people will be in it for that long. But it's like, it's got the fun, goofy, loopy stuff. I just, you know, sometimes Wes Anderson goes a little bit too much with Wes Anderson.
Sometimes.
Most of the time. French Dispatch, for some reason, it worked. I don't know why. But yeah, I'm interested to see that. It's just funny that that's with like Flash and Elemental, a Pixar film and a DC film. See you later, Wes Anderson. You are going down.
Such a weird release. And I mean, we talked about this months ago. Like, I just don't understand how one of them didn't budge. But I guess there's not really, I mean, August has some space when we get to those August films, but
and it seems like Wes Anderson would love to be like either like in a spring or in a fall in a very like awkward time. Yeah. Like, but I don't know. They're dead set on June.
He'd probably like to be the one like right after the summer blockbuster season, you know, like, all right, we're good. That's out. Now let's inject the weird shit.
We saw a lot of explosions. Let's calm down with a nice little paper mache UFO and a bunch of actors saying quirky lines.
Oh, God. Next up is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. This hits June 30th, 2023. Harrison Ford, Mads Mikkelsen, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, as well as others. The synopsis, daredevil archaeologist Indiana Jones races against time to retrieve a legendary dial that can change the course of history. Accompanied by his goddaughter, he soon finds himself squaring off against Jürgen Waller, a former Nazi who works for NASA.
They're bringing Operation Paperclip into this. What a freaking move. What an absolute move.
I have to say, like, not a lot of people loved Crystal Skull. Well, apparently, like, fans did, but, like, critics-wise, not. And I didn't like it. But I'm excited for this. The trailers, there's a certain level of nostalgia that just makes this a good summer movie for me and gets me excited to see what they did. Also, the fact with the director involved, whose name is slipping my mind right now, James Mangold. Thank you. I was like, Golden Bubble. James Mangold, he hits for me all the time. I really like James Mangold. I'm excited for what he has coming down the pike. And I think that, like, in his hands, this could be really good. And with Harrison Ford having his last outing, with Mads Mikkelsen being involved, with Phoebe Waller-Bridge being involved, like, hit me with it. Like, and play that, get that going, because I just love it.
Yeah, I mean, like, on paper, everything about this sounds good. These trailers just seemed a little bit Crystal Skull-ish, and that's what has me worried. I think it'll be better than Crystal Skull. I think most things can be, but I'm so
there's
worried
no aliens
about
involved, so.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I don't know. They work for NASA. I don't know. Like, I'm just a little bit worried about it, but I'm going to be seeing this. This will be my Thursday movie for sure. Little worried.
No, boy.
So next up, I have Joyride, and I just want a comedy to do well in theaters. A comedy that has a diverse cast. I think that's so freaking important. I mean, Stephanie Hsu's first outing since, Everything All at Once. And so I'm just like, it just sounds like this is going to be a great movie. A lot of fun, just a good, solid, raunchy comedy in theaters. Comedies are just dying on the vine in theaters these days. I want one to do well. I don't know if this is unfortunately going to be that one, with it, like, you know, a week after Indiana Jones and a week before Mission Impossible. Fuck. This thing is doomed. But
on that point, I will say the only thing it's going up against is Insidious: Fear the Dark. And I think that going up against a horror film is good for this, because it's either you're a horror fan or you're not.
Yeah.
And if you don't go for horror, comedy is the other aspect. It's the complete opposite.
Ugh, horror films do so well, though, in like theaters. But anyway, I'm just this trailer had me laughing my ass off. It had a good R-rated trailer. It's got Seth Rogen producing it, which, you know, doesn't mean he's got his fingers all the way in it, but it does mean that he's puppeteering a lot of the stuff and he's promoting it solidly. You know what I meant by that.
That was a very weird phrasing.
It was not a weird phrasing. Like, he's got his fingers.
It doesn't mean he has
his
fingers all the way in it.
I mean, yeah, it's a fine phrase. Okay, as it was coming out, it did sound a little bit weird, but I meant goodness from all of that. I don't know.
Hit us,
we're doing this in an afternoon. I'm used to my Saturday mornings now, and now we're all off on this. So yeah,
hit the synopsis.
Oh, hit the synopsis. Here we go. The epic journey of four Asian American women traveling through Asia in search of one of their birth mothers. Along the way, their experience will become one of bonding, friendship, belonging, and no holds barred debauchery that reveals the universal truth of what it means to know and love who you are. Sounds great. Really great. I just know this isn't going to make a buck, and I really want it to. God, come on, Joyride.
It sounds good. I'm kind of getting, in a weird way, Hangover vibes from it, and I don't know why. I just worry about it. It seems really fascinating, and I'm really interested in hoping that it does well. I don't know.
In Hangover vibes, I mean, successful raunchy comedy that now will be in more of a modern day. And there's like, you know, there's obviously shit in Hangover that does not age well. But I love that, like, this one is going to probably be a raunchy comedy that won't be as, like, you know, blindingly offensive as other movies are. And I'm hoping that, like, we can, like, have that wholesomeness while still, you know, wanting to throw up and stuff. And the line, like, it's my asshole, not a bop it, is still just something brilliant. I mean, I think this has to be good, man.
My God. Oh, my God.
I've got the next one as well. And this is an interesting one because I'm not really a fan of these movies that much. But Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Which, almost when they announced the title in the trailer, is a spoof upon itself. Because it's like, Mission Impossible, then Dead Reckoning, and then Part 1. And I'm just like, okay! And I love that they're like putting this movie into two parts as if the plot is that complicated. And I love that it says here, no synopsis yet. There's not going to be a synopsis. It's an agent fighting a different secret organization, and it's a plot loosely entangled by really good stunts. That being said, really, really, really good stunts. And so am I seeing this movie just for the dumb stunts? Yes. And I think that, like, I hate when people, like, try to think there's more to these movies than those. It is just dumb stunts. We've seen the one where he just, like, completely jumps off a cliff, like, you know, with a motorcycle and such. I'm looking forward to that kind of stuff. I think these movies, you know, if they are just the stunts, I'm willing to literally just, like, turn on a lizard brain and, you know, occasionally watch robots battle. And also, you know, watch Mission Impossible and watch Tom Cruise genuinely at this point try to kill himself.
If there is one movie this summer that I am the least interested in. It is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. I have zero interest in this movie. I don't know why. I just don't care.
I won't even defend it. I don't care enough about this movie to defend it, but I put this up here because I'm just like, I'm gonna just get a gigantic tub of popcorn and just like watch the dumbest shit that I can imagine. And this is like, that was my guilty pleasure of this one. But I love how they do try to like get a plot going, like, you know, well, according to the agents, you have to go underwater for the safe. I'm like, do you really? Like, just like they just
Mission Impossible
loosely tie these stunts together.
Mission Impossible is like the Fast X of spy movies. It's like James Bond meets Fast X.
Yes.
And it's whatever.
Yeah. The stunts are done better. They're more practical and stuff. So I'll give that slight edge to Mission Impossible, but I agree.
Yeah.
Plot-wise, they are the same.
Next up is one we both had, of course, Barbie. Release date, July 21st, 2023, starring Michael Cera, Will Ferrell, Margot Robbie, Issa Rae, Kingsley Benadire, America Ferrera, Simu Liu, Ryan Gosling, a bunch of good people. And here's the synopsis. I actually hadn't heard this synopsis before I put it on here today. But after being expelled from Barbie Land for being a less than perfect looking doll, Barbie sets off for the human world to find true happiness. I'm so fascinated by a Greta Gerwig movie about Barbie. That, like, sign me up. I will see this probably, depending on how it all shakes out, before Oppenheimer, because I'm fascinated by it. I can't wait to see what this becomes. And it's already kind of hit pop culture and movie film culture in a positive way. People are really pumped by it, and it looks Barbie, but it also, you know, with Greta Gerwig involved, that it is going to have a message, and I am so here for it.
I remember Gerwig's previous film was Little Women, and we all said, why is she remaking a film for the fourth time? This is gonna be stupid, this is gonna suck. And then whoa, like absolutely just tremendous movie. So I'm not gonna sleep on Greta. I'm so excited for this. I always do this thought experiment when I look at the trailer and I'm like, if it didn't say Greta Gerwig at the very end, would I be feeling the same way about this? And I gotta be honest, probably not. I'd probably be
really?
Like, what the hell is this? I don't know, man. I think the Greta Gerwig part of this is like what's really hooking me in. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm still thinking great stuff. Obviously, this is on my top 10. I'm just so freaking excited for this movie. And just as we're going to like talk about this movie weekend, which just is the most tremendous thing that's ever happened in Hollywood. But like when it comes to Barbie, oh, it's a movie based off of a toy. It should not look this good. It should not look this crazy. And it looks great. And, you know, based on this plot synopsis, we have only seen like the first 15 minutes of this movie. And I think that is so clever. I think that's so great. I'm just so excited for like what this movie is going to be and this movie weekend, because Barbie is being released by Warner Brothers, who Christopher Nolan told to fuck off. And now his movie is being released on the same weekend. And that is Oppenheimer. And we'll probably talk about the trailer a little bit during our pod this week. But these trailers look so good. This movie looks good. Like, visually looks really good. And, you know, Nolan, obviously, I was not a big fan of Tenet. I've loved a lot of his other movies. But Tenet was just a little bit too weird with how they mess with time.
And Robert Pattinson still doesn't understand what Tenet was about.
Dude, I kind of guarantee that Nolan doesn't know what it's about either. You can't really explain that movie, man. It's just too goofy. And then like when I hear discussions about it, I'm like, I missed all of that. So I don't think, you know, and people are just like, well, Inception was confusing too. Inception wasn't confusing. They go into a dream. It was pretty damn easy. Like, but like Oppenheimer seems like he's going to like ground himself a little bit. And it's just going to be, okay, this is a good, solid historical biopic about a guy who like made the weapon that will eventually kill humanity. And like, I think there's that like internal conflict there, but then I just keep on saying to myself, this looks really good. Like, I just can't emphasize how much this, like, just from the cinematographer alone, but just, I just love the way this looks when there's the trailer of him just quietly climbing the ladder and you just hear the weather. I'm like, damn, dude, this is just cinema. I love that Nolan also just refuses to like have this movie that like is clearly like a type of Oscar bait. He's still like, no, I'm a blockbuster director. Middle of the summer. Like, it's a little bit bonkers to me. I'm really looking forward to this one quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this. I wasn't at first. And of course, like when you bring in so many people into the cast, I always worry about that because like remember at one point we were reporting like three different people each week on the pod.
Well, it was Barbie, cast. Then it was Oppenheimer, and then occasionally like Glass Onion would also show up. So it was like those three just kept on cycling more casting where by the end of it, I was just like, Janelle Monáe, I don't give a shit. Like, who cares? She's in all of them. Like,
yeah. The next one up on our list is Talk to Me. This is a film that, it's a horror film. It's releasing on July 28th. Stars a good amount of people, but the synopsis is when a group of friends discover how to conjure spirits using an embalmed hand, they become hooked on the new thrill. And so one of them goes too far and unleashes terrifying supernatural forces. I'm really excited about this because the directors are fascinating to me. It's Danny and Michael Filippo. And, you know, they've come up kind of like directing their own movies, doing their own shit. And it's an Australian supernatural film as well. The trailer was incredible, in my opinion. Yeah. It was one of the better horror trailers that we've gotten in a while. And I just love a good horror movie. And, you know, Insidious is coming out, and that's like the 17th movie in that series. But Talk to Me looks original, fun, interesting, scary, and intriguing. I can't wait.
Yeah, this plot is bonkers. And I remember we read this plot like on like a couple of years ago on the pod, and we just laughed at it. We're just like, that's just silly. And it is just such a goofy plot, but it's so original that it could hook people in a late July after everyone's got like the hangover of all the craziest movies coming out. I think that's going to be great. What I like about like this movie, or what I like about this the movie trailer is it seemed to like sort of find a common ground with the people that love the slasher, scary, like thriller movies. And then also the people that love the high art, you know, prestige thrillers as
high.
And
art.
So I think it could like definitely like unite those two types of fans because it looks great. But it also does have like that element of cheesy horror where like people are getting picked off throughout the movie. And I love that both of those elements are there together. And I just think that's going to work really well for this one.
Totally, totally agree with you.
So my next one was one that I didn't think I would ever put on this when it was announced. And
I was surprised to see this on your list.
So I am not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles person. I watched like a few episodes of the cartoon, but I was never truly obsessed with it. And so, like, I was like, oh, cool, they're doing another animated movie after doing a bunch of, like, weird live-action ones. And this animation looks really good. And that's what's, like, capturing me on this is that, it, like, you know, I'm a sucker for, like, an original look at animation. And so I saw this. It looks great. The voice talents are, you know, actual teens. And the chemistry between them is a lot of fun. And just them goofing off a lot of the times. And because, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles – in most of these movies aren't teens. Like they're like adults that have like nostrils and like, it's just weird the whole time. This is just like them being like, you know, they accidentally like throw a knife over a building causing a car accident. One of them goes, you want to get a pizza? And I'm like, this is actually like, this is what I want to see from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, once again, I'm not a diehard fan. So I can't say like, you know, this is the proper way to do them or this is not the proper way. But I think this emphasizes the teenage portion of them a lot more than the others have. And I think it's just charming. And once again, the animation looks really good and it's like really visually arresting.
All I keep thinking is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant. God, what a banger of a song. Okay. Last two here are me. First one is Red, White, and Royal Blue. This is coming out August 11, 2023 on Amazon, I believe. It stars Taylor Zakara Perez, Uma Thurman, Nicholas Galitzine, Matthew Lopez, Greg Berlanti is the producer, I believe, and a number of others. So backstory on this is that I read this book a couple years ago, and it is a gay romance novel, like young adult gay romance novel. But the synopsis is that the son of the president of the United States, and the president's played by Uma Thurman in this.
Yes.
And, you know, again, female president, too. So it's a very advanced science fiction in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Falls in love with Prince Henry, who's the grandson of the Queen of England. So it is. The book was fantastic. And it was just like, it's also a very sexy book in a lot of ways, if I may say so myself. But it's just, it's a really good, intriguing story, and I couldn't put it down. So when I heard that they were making it into a movie and that they brought the the writer on board, the author on board to advise and stuff, I was like, I'm in. It always worries me when Amazon picks stuff up because they don't have the
best. I was going to ask that. Is this in theaters?
They haven't really said, they said release date August 11th, but I haven't seen if it's theaters or streaming. I'm not quite clear on that. I have a feeling it's streaming because I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like they're not going to want to put the money into trying to get a wide audience for a gay romance, even though I would love that. But I'm excited for it because the story is wonderful. And there's a lot of aspects to the story that I'm intrigued to see how they pull off in the film. But yeah, I can't wait.
I do top 10 posters halfway through the year and at the end of the year. This is going to be one of those posters, man. I love this poster. It's like the American socks and the British socks doing a little cuddle. I was like, even like just like that alone is just a little bit sexy, even though it's like clothed feet. But I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy. The latest news on this is that it got an R rating, which I'm like, fuck yes, do it up. Like, if you're going to do it up. I'm trying to see real quick if they what they're saying. It's from Amazon Studios, and it's going to – I apologize. I'm looking this up as we're talking. I should have looked this up before. Revealed on Instagram. It will be released on Prime Video on August 11th.
Okay,
now knowing that it's R-rated, I think that makes it that much more difficult for them to market it to a theatrical crowd. Yeah. But I'm so pumped. I can't wait for this. I'm so excited. So excited. The last one gets me back to DC and, you know, ends with the superhero here. Blue Beetle. The release date's August 18th, 2023. I'm going to butcher his name and I apologize. But it stars Zolo Maridueña, as well as George Lopez, Susan Sarandon, a number of other people. And the synopsis is the Mexican-American teenager Jamie Reyes discovers the Blue Beetle scarab on the way home from school. Turns out the scarab provides him with a suit of extraterrestrial armor, which can be modified to enhance his speed and strength, as well as to create weapons, wings, and shields. This just looks – it gives me a feel of the first Shazam in terms of, like, the family feel. And first reactions were saying, like, oh, yeah, this is good. Like, it's definitely a solid film and has that familial pull that people are going to, I think, like. But it also is very interesting because the kid doesn't want to be a superhero and he gets pulled into being a superhero. Essentially, it's also Mexican American representation, which I just love. It's different type of lore with like the Egyptian background here. I'm very interested to see how they play this. Now, Susan Sarandon makes me nervous for the blip that they showed her resurrected in that movie.
Didn't look trailer.
Good. Yeah. Worried about that. But I also just love fun superhero movies. And if this can introduce a new character that, you know, we don't have any expectations on in terms of film because we haven't seen them before and can actually deliver a fun time out at the theater, then I'm all for it. It also should be noted that this was originally slated for HBO Max as well. So along with Batgirl, and Batgirl was the one that got written off, not saying anything about, like, we don't know, there wasn't a finished film, whatever, but this, they're sticking with the theatrical release. So I think that's a vote of confidence for it, especially in a time where DC is switching up and trying to figure out what's going on.
With a July that is insanely packed, the August release on this is such a smart move. August is like kind of considered a bit of a graveyard for films, but there's always one or two that stand out, and I think this could be it. I just want to give a shout out to the Scarab, which like looks exactly like a creature from Guillermo del Toro's film Kronos. I don't know if that's what like they're going for, or they like, but it's like it's a really cool, because like that grabs him in the same way, and like in that one he turns into a vampire and dies. But in this, it's like a little bit of a superhero thing. I had like, you know, you said you had Shazam vibes. Very true. I have like a lot of, the Iron Giant vibes, where there's like an innocent being finding a superpower and sort of using that. And there's been a lot of those. I mean, you know, Iron Giant kind of references to E.T. and stuff like that. But I love that like innocent person finding something that is like a superpower-ish sort of deal. And I love the idea of this one. I didn't put this on the list, but I am rooting for this one. I'm looking forward to it doing well.
I'm excited. I also just want, again, DC to do well. So, and especially with like the cast here, the pictures look awesome. The suit looks awesome. Yeah, and if I was a kid, I would probably buy that Scarab toy right away, because it's like, it would probably be something that I'd be running around being like, I'm getting the power, you know, something like that. But listen, that is our list of what we're excited for. We probably will add other things as, like, you know, other release dates get dropped. And we didn't really touch on too much streaming here. And there is some streaming stuff coming out, like Extraction 2 almost made my list. No Hard Feelings was another one that almost made my list, which is going to theaters, the Jennifer Lawrence film.
Yeah, I'm worried about that one, but
I know you are. I remember when the trailer came out.
Yeah, this is like 90s like crap. Like, I'm so worried about that one. I'm like, J-Law, you came back. Like, don't be doing this. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's good. But
I love J-Law. If you want to keep up to date with all of these release dates, you can go to guyatthemovies.com and check out the updated calendar, which has all the release dates. We've gone through 2025 with the release dates. So anything that's been announced through 2024 and 2025, as well as Avatar like 33 and whatever down the road, they're all in the calendar. So check them all out. You can add the Google Calendar to your own calendar to stay up to date. And we'll continue to make those changes as necessary, and release dates do shift. But other than that, Sean, I'm pumped for this summer. I hope you are too. And check out the Guy at the Movies podcast every weekend when we cover these releases, as well as upcoming releases, latest movie news, and more. Next episode, there's actually a new episode out right now, but the next episode will drop on Monday. Sean, it's an audio podcast.
I don't know if you were just officially signing off. No, I was just like, is he just doing his like official canned outro? And then, all right, so, and I'll see you later. Remember, see you at the movies.
The Guy at the Movies podcast is a joint venture between Math Teacher Movies and Guy at the Movies. You can catch new episodes weekly right here, wherever you're listening to this one. Subscribe so you never miss a beat.